Good morning. This is Lydia Aranda, and it is a bright, sunny Monday here in Tucson. Matt, how you doing? It's been a lot warmer. We're not getting that rainmaking juju going.
Right. Last week was supposed to be a good week at some point for rain, and I think it was very good for the folks in Nogales. And we'll have to ask our guest how Cochise County and Douglas did. But I think Nogales did well either Friday or Saturday evening.
And I hear up in the valley, it was so crazy. Trees were knocking over.
Oh my goodness.
All kinds of things.
Okay.
They were having some real monsoons over there.
Okay.
But it seemed to skip us a little bit. It looked like a little rain, kind of.
A few drops. Yeah, enough to get the car dirty. That's about it.
Well, you know, we had such a long run this summer of having rain come down on Mondays, or at least having it look like it. So we
the
might
promise
be,
of rain,
the
Lydia.
The promise of rain
is not rain. That's Matt's first postulate of meteorology.
There you go. Well, I agree with that. Well, we are getting close, I can't believe, to wrapping up August. You know, already we're here on the 18th. Next week we have another Monday, and then after that we'll be in September. So I'm so excited that we continue to have fabulous guests on our show. And this first hour, I'm really excited to have a good friend and colleague, someone I've had the pleasure of working with for many years in regional business development, supporting entrepreneurs. And also, he has a particular flair for putting together great events that include music and great topics and entertainment and culture. Mr. Ralph Robles is joining us from the great city of Douglas. Ralph, how you doing? It's so great that you could be with us this morning.
Good morning, guys. I'm doing great, and I just want to say thank you guys for having me on board. It's great to promote the city of Douglas, Cochise County, all together, and we just want some people coming down and visiting the real southern Arizona.
That's right. All the way south, down in the southeast corner, and so many fabulous things happening there. Ralph, before we get too far into it, I want to tell the listeners a little bit about you, and I'm going to introduce you, as I said already, a good colleague and a good friend, and we've had the pleasure of working together for many years in different capacities, with chamber activities, with your own small businesses, with the networks and alliances and coalitions that you have built. I know that currently for many years now, you've been one of the co-founders and CEO of Douglas Business Network, which is a great avenue and initiative for promoting small businesses that hail from the Douglas area and serve the Douglas area. And also, you are a board member of the Arizona Regional, I always get it wrong, AREDF, let me say it again, Arizona Regional Economic Development Foundation, headquartered out of Sierra Vista. You've been a board member there for this last year, is that correct?
Yes. Yeah, it's been amazing. Mignon Hollis has been absolutely amazing, very supportive. And actually, I was just elected as president of the board of AREDF.
So, congratulations. Good for you. When does that term start? Is it now or does that happen in January? Are you guys on a fiscal year? I don't remember.
Yeah. We actually just started this past Thursday. So it was my first meeting, first everything. So it was very nerve-wracking because I didn't really expect to be president within the first year.
Well, it says how good you're doing after being there in a year. I'm sure very active. I've seen a lot of your postings. And in full transparency, I don't know if you know, but Mignon was one of our guests earlier this year here on Rainmakers. And she was kind enough to drive into Tucson. I think we timed it so that she had some other events that were going on here. And she was able to come here and sit in the studio, but that was a little bit earlier in the year, and it was very dark 30 when she left Sierra Vista to come in here. And we had a wonderful talk, and she was speaking a little bit about some of the ongoing initiatives. And if I remember correctly from what I was looking at in the communication that I received from you, this last Friday was not only an exciting ribbon cutting that AREDF and the Douglas Business Network took part in, but it seemed like it was kind of a unique, because it was like a three-way ribbon cutting. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, definitely. And it was, like I proclaimed, it's history in the making. So we had a call center. So we were able to take that under our wing, and it's now a community innovation center for Cochise County. So it was very exciting to be on a three-way ribbon cutting with the Sky Islands Regional Partnership and the Southeast Arizona Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And this is the first time we collaborate. So it was really exciting to have all three on board. We about had 100 people in attendance.
Wow.
And we withstood the storm because, like you guys were talking about earlier, it was we just got there and there was heavy rain that came in before we got there. So we're coming from Douglas, so we get there an hour earlier and help mm-hmm. Set up. And But once it was time to actually do the ribbon cutting, we were kind of scared because there was this monster storm coming through. And we don't know if we were going to have enough time to do the ribbon cutting and then get rained on, or rained on and the ribbon cutting. But,
do like a quick snip and then run back indoors.
yeah, exactly. Like everybody just, you know, say what you got to say really quick, you know, less than 30 seconds, and then let's jump inside before we get rained on. But I mean, it's awesome because I've collaborated with Melanie Edwards Barton from the Sky Islands before, and we just had our Bisbee mixer, our fifth annual Bisbee mixer, back in July, and we got rained on, but it was a very fun moment. Everybody just enjoyed the rain, and we were in Bisbee, and what else do you want? You know, we were at a brewery, and it was awesome.
Bisbee has so much character. I agree with you. There's always a lot of interesting things going on in Bisbee. So that means, were you doing that in the capacity of the AREDF or with the Douglas Business Network, or both when you were in Bisbee?
Yeah. Actually, our Bisbee one was a three-way collaboration between the Irene Coppola and the Better Business Bureau of Tucson and Melanie of the Sky Islands. So that's, I think it was the third time we do it together. We initially started this 5 years ago with just me and Melanie, I think a little bit after COVID. And Melanie is like, we got to do something. I was like, yeah, let's do something. It's like, where else better to do it in Bisbee? You know, Bisbee is really fun. And we attract different people from Cochise County to one place, you know. So it was just amazing. I couldn't believe we were going to do it because when we were coming from Douglas, we got really, really good rain. That was like the best rain of the year so far. That particular day, so it was scary to drive up.
It gets a little scary on the curves and all those kinds of things. You never really know what's coming, but it sounds like it gave you good inspiration. The rain always does that for me, too. It kind of invigorates me. Well, gosh, that's just a lot that you're doing. Let's tell the folks a little bit more about you and your background. So you were raised in the Douglas and Agua Prieta area, yes?
Yes, uh-huh.
Great. And you have spent most of your career being based out of there, but really focusing on the region, the southeast region of, the corner of our state that links just by what you were describing a little bit ago. It really shows that you keep Douglas on people's minds, but you are very much about collaborating, whether it's with Wilcox, Sierra Vista, Bisbee, coming up to Tucson. I mean, I've really noticed that with the kind of work that you do, that your focus is to make sure that Douglas does not get forgotten in those kind of conversations, and you're there to advocate and to really help those local entrepreneurs thrive and get inspired to do the kind of hard work that it is, but the wonderfully rewarding work of being a small business owner, but you also help connect out into the region so that people have a whole variety of constituencies, of customers, clients, of visibility. That's something that I've always been really impressed with you.
Yeah, definitely. And it all came into fruition when I started DJing. And with the DJing, I never thought it would grow this big and this fast really quick. And we just hit 12 years of an entrepreneurship by DJing services. And with that coming along, I met different businesses. The late Arturo Escalante, who passed away, you know, really inspired me and really pushed me to promote our community. And with that, it was many different collaborations. So I would be playing in Wilcox. I'd be playing in Alfreda, Bisbee, Naco, Sierra Vista, and Benson. So it just led me to different venues, to different people, and with that, you know, it just became more than just a DJ service. And that's when we started with the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, and then we grew from there. And we did entrepreneurship with Arturo. Unfortunately, he passed away, and I had to carry the ball myself. And luckily, with all those connections I made throughout Cochise County, it was just a little bit more easier, a little bit more accessible to make this venture of great opportunity for not only just Douglas, Cochise County in a whole, to make different collaborations and really promote each other, especially our small businesses that are very rural. you know, they don't get that much exposure, but by me promoting in different communities, oh, well, we got that in Douglas. Oh, we got this in Douglas. We got that in Douglas. You know, it's just little things here and there that makes us a little bit better in our community and something that we can really spotlight.
Well, that's fantastic, and I think you hit the nail right on the head that sometimes people know about other businesses or services, but a lot of folks, you know, it's kind of the old adage, you don't know what you don't know, and so being able to bring people together, being able to help celebrate, certainly with your DJ services business, and I love that you call it that because you are not only a DJ, but you provide a lot of the services that help support events and event making, it sounds to me. So it's beyond, it's thinking about the themes, it's being able to not just play the music, but really be there as an entertainer that's helping to elevate the theme of an event, whether it's a business networking event, or it might be a celebration, or it might be a memorial, and all those things are very different, but you can still put your talents to use there, and that is very, very inspiring. We're going to take a quick break, and speaking of DJs, we're actually going to head it over to Matt Neely, who's behind the glass and making sure that we've got some great music as we exit here for a commercial. Ralph, we'll be back in just a moment.
Lydia, what do we say we kick this Monday right in the teeth and get on and rock, huh? Let's do good today.
Let's get into it and let's start welcoming September by Earth, Wind, and Fire. Thanks so much, Matt. This is Lydia Aranda, and I'm your host on Rainmakers, the Monday segment of The Morning Voice, weekday positive talk radio here on KVOI. And this is Monday, August 18th. We have been experiencing just such a hot summer, but with rain here and there, and it sounds like we might be getting that energy for a 10% chance. This morning, we have our guest calling in from Douglas, Mr. Ralph Robles. Ralph, thanks so much for being here with us this morning.
No, thank you guys. We appreciate the opportunity.
Well, we were speaking just before the break about DJ services and the vital role that entertainment plays in event making. And often those events can be informational. They certainly can be celebratory. Sometimes they are about memorializing or giving tribute to issues, items, people, or even a whole community. And you seem to have had so much experience with that. Let's give a little bit of background, though, to you. We were starting to go down that path a little bit when we took our commercial break. Tell our listeners a little bit about your background and kind of what put you on the path. You started to tell us before the commercial that DJing gave you a lot of exposure to small businesses, but what even gave you the spark to get into DJing to begin with?
You know, ever since I was smaller, you know, I always loved music, so it was just a passion. And I used to make these things called mixtapes, mm-hmm. and it's a mixture of different music, and a lot of it was a lot of hip hop. And back in the day in the high schools, people would just enjoy my mixes, and they would actually look forward to it. Like if I was, you know, an official artist, and they'd be looking forward to the next one. When's your next mix coming out? So it'd be on a consistent basis.
Very cool.
Yeah, and then I started working in Sierra Vista, and I was at the call center actually, and at that point too, I was still handing out these mixes, and people loved them, and it just grew from there. And then I started working at GameStop as a manager here in Douglas, mm-hmm. and unfortunately, back in those days, we had to close up because it was just a little slower in our economy than most cities. And unfortunately, we had to close up the GameStop. So I really had no choice other than to jump into the DJ business. And thank God, honestly, 12 years, it's a blessing to still be playing all over Cochise County. And with that, brought that entrepreneurship. And I said, well, it just can't be just a service. You know, we have to do a little bit more. So as I grew as a DJ playing different types of music, because then the border, it's a little more different from Sierra Vista to Benson. So you have to really evolve around what people you're catering to. Mm-hmm. And I learned how to play more cumbias, more Mexican music. I learned how to play country music, pop, and mix it all in together in one whole session. And especially when you do like quinceañeras, sweet 16s, weddings, you have to go all the way around. You just can't play certain types of music and call it a day.
That's
true. You have to get out their seat. You know, some people may not like cumbias, but they'll dance to some country music. Some people may not like country music, but they'll dance to some Michael Jackson. So it was just like, you have to know what you're doing. So with that coming around, it was just the opportunity was given to me. without warning, I could actually say, I guess another local DJ decided to leave a bar that we had. And the bar owner, I don't know, through one of my friends that would constantly go to the bar, said, hey, you know, my friend Ralph's the DJ. And I wasn't an official DJ. That's the thing. I was just at that time.
You're kind of dabbling, still getting your feet wet, as they say.
Oh, yeah. So it was kind of funny because they're like, oh, we have Customs and Border Patrol coming on, and can you DJ their Christmas party? I was like, oh, I think so. So at that time, I did not know. So at that time, I was very new to it, and my background of music, you know, stuff that I buy is a lot of hip-hop. So at that time, I thought people would just enjoy it, which some would, but a lot of, you know, really wanted to hear cumbias and country music and pop music. So at that time, I didn't really have that establishment of how to play everything. So eventually, I evolved, and I started doing more parties and playing for more different types of people. So it was just really just thrown into the fire and, you know, see how I come out. And thank God it's been a blessing to play for different communities and different types of events and learning the actual business of setting up these events and planning the quinceañeras, the weddings, and working with different types of people. So it's been an amazing journey as a DJ.
Wow, that really is, you know, you were painting such a great picture there. I do have one question about this that's on my mind. And I wonder, Matt, also I'm going to ask this to you, to both of you gentlemen. What are some of the best songs that come to mind that are your go-tos that in any event? I mean, I'm sure there's specifics for certain personalities or certain requests. But if you find yourself in an event playing music and you just have to go to your go-to song because you got to get the crowd going and you just need to pick something out of your hip, what do you think some of the best songs to do that are?
Well, I got a certain mix. So I got this certain mix that I do, mm-hmm. and that's how I know this party will be a good party or a really mellow party. So I have this mix, and it starts with the Cumbia Kings.
Okay.
And it's called Fuego. So once I throw that,
that's a good one.
And if people get into that one, I mix it into Danza Kuduro with Don Omar. So if I get those, once I know people are dancing and I could keep them dancing on the floor, it's about a 20-25 minute mix that I do.
Then you just can run with that one.
Yes. So I know it's going to be a good party. So it's just like right off the bat, people are dancing. And it's great to see because when I keep people on the dance floor, they stay on the dance floor and they get tired.
And it's sad to see that's good. You wear them out and then they go over and buy a drink at the bar and then everybody's happy.
Yes.
Well, I was kind of, so that's interesting because I would say Cumbia Kings is kind of one of those classics when, you know, kind of hits all generations. People have heard it, yeah. People like it, and they'll at least get their foot tapping. Matt, do you have any go-tos that you can think of? I mean, is it like Michael Jackson?
Well,
I
think Earth, Wind, and Fire is pretty much which we had a little bit of a minute ago. I think that's always that's always got the wide appeal to it.
So, yes, yeah, it sure does. Absolutely. And it does get your foot tapping and shoulders grooving a little bit, head bopping, any kind of Earth, Wind, and Fire does that. Even some of their ballads, I would say, you know, people start swaying to them or having a good memory. Ralph, that's just so exciting. I really like how you walked us through that story because I can understand even more now what then helped you. I mean, entrepreneurship was a necessity for you, but at the same time, the kind of things that you spoke about that really inspired you are and really kept you going by way of paying attention to your customers, you know, the people that you need to entertain, and being attentive to, even when you were doing your mixtapes in high school and beyond, that people were attentive to. It sounds like those are the kind of things you have to pay attention to in business. You know, you might have a service or you might think you have a business this concept, but you need to be touching in with your customers or potential customers to see if there's something different that you might be doing. And I remember you advising business owners back in the day and kind of following them along and giving them some advice. I'm going to maybe take a wild guess and say that that may have been what led to the Douglas Business Network that you now oversee. Is that correct?
Yeah, definitely. It's a crucial part of just learning from how to not just open your business, how to keep your business open and being creative, being innovative, especially now with social media, TikTok, Facebook. I mean, it's such so much access to have commercials, different ideas that you could do for your business, you know. And it's so funny when you look at your TikToks, you know, TikTok is probably going to be outdoing Amazon pretty soon because they have different types of commercials and they're actual live people, live influencers that are doing these commercials. So it's like that innovation really inspires me. It's like, what else can we do? And you have to be a hustler out here. You have to look at all types of venues and different insights of how to keep your business alive. How do I make it different? What else can I do? And you take a little bit from different people and see how you can make it your own. Instead of just copying it, you make it into your own little ball and you roll with it.
That's great. Well, we are actually at our next commercial break. So you're listening to Ralph Robles and Lydia Aranda on Rainmakers. Please stay tuned. We'll be back in just a couple moments. And we're back. This is Lydia Aranda, your host on Mondays for Rainmakers, the Monday segment of The Morning Voice, positive talk radio here on KVOI The Voice. Here in studio, Matt Neely is behind the glass, keeping us on track and playing some great tunes. And we're so excited this first hour to have Ralph Robles from Douglas, Arizona. He is the CEO of Douglas Business Network and also the new president of the board of the Arizona Regional Economic Development Foundation. Ralph, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Right before the break, we were starting to talk about skills that translate from one genre or one piece of a career into another, and the kind of attention that you were giving in your attention to your customers while being a DJ and providing DJ services was also the kind of attention that you were giving to any of your clients while working, small business clients, while working at the Douglas Hispanic Chamber, which is now the Southeastern Arizona Hispanic Chamber. And also in your other roles, continuing into, I guess, sort of the birth or the creation of the Douglas Business Network. How long has DBN been around?
Thank God we're hitting 6 years coming in October. So
isn't that amazing?
Yeah, really quick too. And the growth of it was really rapid. Honestly, I didn't think it was going to grow so fast within these 6 years.
Well, do you attribute that? Let's see. So the 6 years currently, that would put it back to about 2019 when it started. Yeah. So maybe some of the back then, a lot of different chambers were shifting and changing. I know when we were going through the collaboration and kind of a consolidation with all four Southern Arizona Hispanic chambers, that's when you and I were working together, and Arturo as well, who you mentioned, who we missed dearly, and Mr. Dan Vice, and putting our heads together to say, how do we continue to serve not only the Hispanic-owned businesses, but being a diverse chamber that might touch into a lot of the needs of diverse business owners all around the southeastern corner of our state.
Yes. Uh-huh. And it's primarily it was just Douglas, you know, that's mm-hmm. I want to help my community. Yeah, I want to put these funds back into our community and not outsource, but at the same time, it just, you know, every rural community has a business they want exposure to. So it's like, how can we help each other out? Well, we're a startup business and you're a startup business. How can we expose you guys a little bit more to more communities than just your own? And that was the focus. And it was more of the entrepreneur than the big corporation, but the big corporations also need exposure and they also want to help out our community. So I kind of use that foundation of the bigger corporation helping out the smaller community business owner.
Fantastic. Well, and I'm sure having the DBN, the Douglas Business Network, is a great way to attract support coming from Tucson, Phoenix, Nogales, maybe even from across the way in New Mexico, you know, some of the communities right across the state line, and even across the international line into Agua Prieta and other parts of Sonora that might be interested in connecting with, or even procuring or having that kind of relationship with the entrepreneurs there in Douglas.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Especially Agua Prieta. Agua Prieta is so lively with their businesses. You know, everybody has a shop from their house, or you just cruise around and you see so many businesses out there, and it's beautiful. You know, it's beautiful. Agua Prieta is just, people are moving around. They're not just waiting for that income to come through. They're going out and grabbing it, and they're full of entrepreneurship. I think that's the heart of a Mexican, I want to say.
Yes, very, you know? Very hardworking, very good working ethic, learning on whether on the fly or formally, you know, by some sort of training program or any other kind of learning, and then applying that right into the business at large. You know, I'm sure you are aware of a really fabulous nonprofit charitable organization that actually is headquartered in Arizona, but its service area is Agua Prieta, and that's Rancho Feliz Charitable Foundation, and the kind of work that they do down in Agua Prieta, led by renowned author, of course, Gil Gillenwater. And now in the charity, in the foundation itself, they've had for not quite a year a new CEO, first-time CEO. Well, she's not a first-time CEO, but the first time in the organization's history that they decided to put a CEO in there, and it's Miss Donna Valdez, so who I know that she and I had the pleasure of chatting about a year ago about businesses right there in Douglas and how there might be a connection to hopefully giving some opportunity to some of the young people in Agua Prieta that are looking to expand their entrepreneurial sense too. So does DBN do very much yet with Rancho Feliz, or is maybe that something in the future?
Yeah, it's hopefully slated for the future. We have invited Ms. Donna on a couple of events, but it's just a scheduling, like, you know, everybody can't make it, but we send the invites out if somebody's available. You know, we wish we could talk a little bit more and just see how we can help out each other, collaborate with each other. And they've been doing an absolutely amazing job. I went to that ranch almost a year ago, and it's absolutely amazing to just see, and the different involvement they have with the Agua Prieta community. So it's I thank them, because it's, everybody needs help. Especially these small communities, they definitely need help.
Yes, that's true. One of the things that I really like when they are bringing volunteers as well as potential donors and other supporters is they invite everybody to come to Douglas, and the meeting point is in Douglas. And so people get to actually spend time, even spend coming in a day or two ahead of time and getting to know, you know, the different, as if they're driving in, or some of them actually fly, you know, smaller private planes into the Douglas Airport or thereabouts, and people get to really appreciate knowing and seeing Sierra Vista and seeing Bisbee and seeing Tombstone and seeing Douglas, and then they can stay there, you know, for an extra few days, either in an Airbnb or at one of the hotels, leave their cars there, and then they are shuttled across to the Hacienda and get to do their volunteer work, learn more about all the services and programs of Rancho Feliz, and then come back and be right in your hood again, you know, neighborhood right there, celebrating and partaking in the Douglas economy too.
Oh yeah, definitely. And then, you know, you just can't miss the Gadsden Hotel. It's just an absolute beautiful gem of our community. And it's like, you could just spend all day at the Gadsden and just be in love from having breakfast, lunch on the terrace, and just enjoying the Douglas community. You know, that's the greatest part. I think a lot of people come from the bigger cities and they get to relax a little bit de-stress from all the traffic and this and that. So it's a little smaller community, so you don't have to wait so long to get to, from point A to point B. So that's the beauty of this community.
That's a nice thing. Well, and speaking again of music, Gil Gillenwater is definitely a music fan. Maybe there's an opportunity. He's got a new book that's just come out. There's probably going to be a lot of attention to some of the new programs coming out with Rancho Feliz. Maybe an opportunity for the DJ services and or for AREDF, wearing your board hat there, your president of the board hat. Tell us a little bit more about what AREDF might have in store coming up that you're aware of. One of the things I am very familiar with is its attention to connectivity, not only amongst people and mentors and support, businesses supporting other businesses, but connectivity in a digital sense. I know that Wi-Fi and other kinds of digital connectivity, being in a rural community has always been a priority for Mignon and the board. So do you anticipate there might be some attention to that or programs coming up soon or even in 2026?
Most definitely. Right now we have a really good board established. And Mignon is a amazing leader, supporter, and I have full faith in her vision. And, of course, we want to do more stuff in the Douglas community, coming with the new port of entry, the commercial port of entry, and we need to capitalize on this new establishment. And with our board right now, I know we're a little bit more focused into our new community innovation center, and we're looking for businesses to come into Southern Arizona and establish themselves there, especially entrepreneurs. That's the main focus. We try to help the little guys out, but our community innovation center, it's a huge center, so we still have a lot of work to do, and I think that's more of the priority right now. But coming with the groundbreaking in Douglas for the new commercial port in September, there has to be some type of collaboration and investment and capitalization on this new project coming through with ARED. And the reason why I joined ARED, it was not just to be part of an organization or part of a board. It's really, I asked Mignon and the prior board is we really need help in our Douglas community. It's beyond desperation. Is this, we need the help and we need to capitalize on this investment with the new commercial port. And that's where Mignon said, hey, Ralph, why don't we do our next board meeting there? So we brought on all of our board members down and we had lunch, we had our meeting. Then they actually joined me for a mixer that night. So those are the things that are really amazing about our ARED team. So I'm not sure if you heard, but we're trying to drop the F out of the ARED.
I did. She did mention that. I think when I give the whole full name, I try to bring it in there because I think people still find that in the website address, right? But I love that it's called ARED because it's about, regional economic development. So it's fantastic. We're about to go into our next commercial break, so I'm going to hold right there. And when we come back, we will talk a little bit more specifically about dates that people need to keep in mind and how they can get involved with DBN, ARED, and many more. So please stay tuned. You're listening to Rainmakers, the morning voice here on KVOI, The Voice. And we're back after a long break there with some commercials and information for all of our listeners. I am Lydia Aranda, and I'm your host for Rainmakers. This first hour, we have had the pleasure of having Mr. Ralph Robles join us. He is calling in from Douglas, Arizona. Ralph, so excited that you were able to join us this morning. We've been talking about a whole lot of things, DJing, music, what it means to be an entrepreneur, what the weather's been like down in the southeastern corner of our state, the Douglas Business Network, and of course, your role, not just being on the board, but now newly named the president of the board of ARED, which is Arizona Regional Economic Development Foundation, headquartered in Sierra Vista, that focuses on that whole corner. Wow, that's just a lot you've got going on.
It doesn't seem like it, but I guess when you really say it, it is.
Well, and with all of that, you also hold a day job that is, well, you've held several day jobs and roles that really focus on not only communities' business well-being, but with well-being in general. I know that recently you held a post that focused on behavioral health down in the corner of the state with services that hailed from other organizations and grants. And are you kind of looking to stay in that space and maybe check out new opportunities there, or are you focusing on the economic development side?
Yeah, I think it kind of shifted. Unfortunately, I was let go due to budget cuts, and that is something that we, on the border especially, it was a program with substance misuse for youth. So unfortunately, I'm not able to teach that program anymore, and which was great because these communities need it, especially we're right here on the border. Mm-hmm. It's very important to teach the youth about substance abuse and what it does to you, especially at an early age. So I would teach the fourth, fifth graders, not only here, out there in Alfreda, San Simon, and Apache, these rural areas that are not really heard of. So it's just like, and it's kind of a peek into the innocence of a child. Well, they don't know what these drugs are or what they do and how much harm they could cause. So it's unfortunate, but I mean, I'm always up for anything just to teach the youth. So I'm always collaborating with youth. So just to get them in a better position of it's a possibility that we might start a youth leadership program. So there's always opportunities to help our community with it, especially the young women and men.
Absolutely. And I think a couple points that you brought up there. First of all, being able to inform people in their younger years is always a great way to go. Preventing rather than having to treat or fix is always a more productive way. But you can't do that if you don't have the resources and the training. It does sound, though, that you are able to take that experience and apply it to other kinds of things. And I love the idea of maybe DBN or even any of the other groups helping to set up a young leaders sector or young business owners sector, or, you know, wannabe entrepreneurs, burgeoning business owners and all those kinds of things. So I'm glad that we're able to let people know that you have these ideas and this experience and that you're ready to collaborate with them. So hopefully that'll those calls and contacts will start coming your way.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, also, I know that we're going to be wrapping up here soon, but let's give our listeners a reminder of where they can be in touch with Douglas Business Network and any events that you might have coming up, and then the same for ARED. Is there a website that's best, or is it on Facebook that they connect with DBN? How do folks find you?
I think our best areas are social medias, and our Facebook is probably the primary focus and a place you could find anything that we do in the community and what we're trying to do. Also, we're on Instagram, Douglas Business Network. And I think that's it for right now. We do have a website. Unfortunately, our partners in Agua Prieta that do software, they got actually hacked, so our website went down. So we're hopefully building it back up. I'm just waiting for them to let me know when it's back up. So unfortunately, things like that. And that's the new age, I guess you could say, of the cybersecurity.
Yes, that those things do happen. We get those little gremlins that come in. But I'm glad that you were able to let people know all those different ways to find you. And then, of course, ARED, they can find you at aredf.org and learn more about the whole entire organization, the Community Innovation Center, which you said is really prevalent. And I just want to thank you again. Thanks to our listeners. It's been a fabulous first hour here on Monday, August 18th on Rainmakers. Ralph Robles from Douglas, thank you so much for joining us. I look forward, and I hope you'll come back and join us in person soon.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We'll schedule something hopefully in person, because we are doing a business recruitment in Tucson, hopefully the first couple weeks of September. So I'll reach out to you, and hopefully we can make that in the morning.
That sounds great. Well, you have a wonderful day. And listeners, stay tuned, because our next hour, we have a fabulous guest who you're going to want to meet. Good morning. This is Lydia Aranda. I am your host for Rainmakers, which is the Monday segment of The Morning Voice, weekday positive talk radio here on KVOI The Voice. And this is our second hour. And we have in studio with us today Mr. Marco Hidalgo, who is the new EVP at the Tucson IDA, the Tucson Industrial Development Authority. Marco, thank you for joining us this morning.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure.
It's very nice to see you. We've got Matt Neely behind the glass keeping us going with the news and the music and making sure we're on time. Matt, I think we're still looking at, is it now 10%, 11%, maybe get some
11%.
Rain?
I love the specificity. 10%, which we all know means it will rain cats and dogs.
It will rain cats and dogs. And when they say it's going to do that, then we get nothing. Yeah. That's right. Well, we like to say that we are at least heavy toward trying to make it rain here in our beautiful Sonoran Desert. And Marco, it's such a great pleasure to have you in with us today on a number of for a number of reasons. And to be transparent with all of the listeners, and to tell you, Matt, mm-hmm. Marco and I go way, way back. We had the pleasure of working together a number of years ago when we were helping college students and budding college students, you know, rising juniors mm-hmm. and seniors in high school all around the country, have better access to college, have better understanding of what the college going experience would be. And we would put on sessions and summer retreats and information sessions for parents, for youth. And we worked with a number of universities all around the country. But he and I particularly were focused on the Southwest. So that's when we got started. And now I get to see you again. You've gone all around the world and back again. And now we have you here in Tucson. Right. Welcome. Bienvenida a Tucson.
Muchas gracias. Thank you so much. And yeah, I always have very fond memories of working together. That was a very critical time to be helping those budding college students.
Yes.
Mostly get access to and also the career awareness part.
Yes.
Right, was very important. That was always these high school student and college students' favorite part, when they were able to connect with professionals mm-hmm. in their own community.
Yes.
That came from neighborhoods just like theirs, that walked, talked like they did, and had gone on to be very successful in corporate careers and nonprofit careers and government careers. So it was really special for me, and I treasure those memories very dearly.
Oh, gosh, it was so much fun. And I remember, you know, we were in Arizona, we were in New Mexico, we were in mm-hmm. Texas. And then we had our counterparts that we were partnering with in California and
Maryland
back east,
as well.
Maryland. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot going on at that time. But one of the things I really remember, and you just touched on it, is the organization that we worked for, HCF, ended up being acquired again by HSF. Mm-hmm. And I've continued certainly to be very, very active with HSF. I know that you have too mm-hmm. throughout the years. And of course, our very own colleague Jason Acosta mm-hmm. Continues to be an executive under Fidel Vargas and doing some great things. But because of some of the not only popularity, but really the productivity of many of our specific sessions, including the Heroes session, mm-hmm. where the youth get to interact, sort of instead of speed dating, it's like speed networking, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. where they would get to interact with different leaders who had often walked the same path as them. That was so popular. HSF really embraced that and put that into their national conferences and their national summits for youth.
Fantastic.
And it's one of their bragging points. And I just love that we have the history of, well, that's where it came from. And mm-hmm. And we see it work with other organizations. Aguila up in Phoenix and many other organizations here in Tucson.
That was the initial partner, right?
Yeah.
The youth symposium.
Yep, and I think that was actually the session that they grabbed onto most, was being able to pull local leaders from the region to tell their story, and that was always fun. So I'm so glad to have you here, and I know that you are bringing the hard work that you put into not just running some of those programs, but really the behind the scenes, that what did it take to get the corporate partnerships? How did we have to report back to them mm-hmm. to say, here's what worked, here's what maybe some improvement, or the corporations themselves would come to us and say, mm-hmm. hey, how about this session? Like you said, career. Let's now go into career tracking and do another level of symposium that might be about that, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So are you finding that useful as you went through your career path with APS and grad school and all these different things?
Absolutely. You know, I interestingly enough, when Jason Acosta got started, he came to the Arizona Youth Institute mm-hmm. to shadow and to get, you know, a good lay of the land of what it's going to look like. Mm-hmm. But it was a very high-performing organization, the way I like to look at it. And a lot of things that I learned very early on in my career, served me throughout my career. Mm-hmm. So not only, you know, the connections that I made, but also the very strong examples and the modeled behaviors by the folks that led the organization, you know, taking immediate action when something needed to be resolved and planning very thoroughly and, you know,
ad nauseum.
Yes,
planning meetings.
Many planning meetings, many planning meetings and many, you know, written documents and changes to processes when we had feedback from either corporate partners or government partners or, you know, university partners. So it served me. Yes, absolutely. And I'm always very, very grateful to the organization for the opportunity and the several years. I started as a volunteer, believe it or not. I was a college student at the time when I learned about the Youth Institute in New Mexico. Mm-hmm. I was at the University of New Mexico and I said, hey, this sounds like a great opportunity to get involved. I was a volunteer for 3 years before I was an employee.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that long. I knew it was at least a year, year and a half. Okay, wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, even I've learned something new about you having you here this morning, Marco. Well, I think you hit on some great points that any kind of organization, and Tucson is filled, Southern Arizona is filled with nonprofits. We have a very high amount of nonprofits that serve in many capacities over many different topics. And for the most part, work well in supplementing each other's missions. Having said that, I think, and I think one of the things that we learned during the pandemic years is, and this was a lesson all over the country and all over the world, if we didn't find a way to collaborate, there was going to be even worse fallout. So we are years, in my opinion, still only barely in the post-pandemic years. Mm-hmm. You know, it really hasn't been that long. But we are starting to feel the ripple effects of economy.
Absolutely.
Of budget, of the stress that small businesses, nonprofits, public agencies all went through, and even corporations, but also the adjustments and the learning that come from, like, for example, remote work or hybrid work, and other kinds of learning and training sessions. I'm sure our universities and community colleges are going through a lot of that. Your wife works at the U of A, so she's a professor there, and I'm sure she's going through a lot of, seeing a lot of changes of what the student bodies are like and how they function in the studies. And
yes, every week it's a challenge, especially in a, I guess it's we're not post-COVID, but in a
post-pandemic, but we still have COVID flying around.
Yes, exactly. Yes. You know, so a lot of things changed during pandemic. I was very fortunate to be able to become a remote worker during pandemic. Good. And one of the most challenging things about that was being a people leader, and then having a distributed team across the nation. And that just was the really opportunity for me to learn kind of what it took to lead a team that was distributed, that was working digitally.
Sure.
But yes, you know, my wife is seeing changes in the student population on a weekly basis, and they have challenges that are very difficult for them to overcome, particularly with the lost years where they did a lot of things online, right? You know, very formative years, the middle school students that spent 2 years, you know, they went from sixth grade to ninth grade on the, you know, seventh and eighth was
without
online.
Without the same socialization that we all kind of really, and we really, you know, I think as people in those formidable years that are those tweens and then teens, if we don't have that chance to really interact and go through some of the great things that happen in junior high and also some of the troubling things.
Yes,
and some
exactly.
of the just like, how do you deal with cliques and teams and, you know, all these things that are new, then all of a sudden you're in high school and it can be a little bit more troublesome or a difficult hill to climb.
Yes.
Not impossible, but it takes other kinds of, it's a new kind of challenge. And now through all of what those kinds of changes, you find yourself here in Tucson, here in Southern Arizona in the great Sonoran Desert, and you're working with the IDA. And some people understand IDA, Industrial Development Authorities, and some people go, huh? So I know that we're going to speak a little bit more about exactly what an IDA does and what a day in the life of an EVP of the Tucson IDA is going to be like. But I do want to plant a few seeds. First of all, you've got a fabulous organization organization that you're working with, yes. A great leader, Dre. Mm-hmm. Dre Thompson has been head of Tucson IDEA for quite some time, mm-hmm. and she's been really innovative. I've been a fan of Dre's ever since she hit the spot. I know it has not been the easiest path for she or the IDEA or other IDEAs, and given that there has to be this intersection with the municipality, with mm-hmm. the county, with the government, with local, with small business, it's all just a lot to pay attention to. But her innovation and her commitment to finding solutions to better serve businesses mm-hmm. has been absolutely impressive. And so I always try and tell her, and I'll do a shout out this morning, thanks, Dre, for doing what you do. And that includes hiring you and bringing you here. I'm so excited about all of that. So we're getting ready to go on our first break. How's that for leaving a little bit of a cliffhanger?
Perfect place.
We're going to be back in just a few moments. So listeners, stay tuned. You're listening to Rainmakers. We are back here on Rainmakers this Monday, August 18th, and we're listening to a little Pharrell with Happy, and one of my favorite songs that just gets me clapping and tapping and snapping. It's just a great, uplifting song, and I keep saying, Matt, we're going to do the Morning Voice competition of who can do a great Happy video.
Okay.
It'll be a community enticed. And, well, I don't know. We'll raise some funds.
Fun. All right. You've declared it. So
I've declared it. Now, I don't know when we're going to do it, but we'll figure it out. So it's Monday, August 18th. And here in studio with me for the second hour is Marco Hidalgo. Marco is the new EVP with the Tucson Industrial Development Authority, the Tucson IDEA. Marco, thank you for being with us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
It was fun to go down a little bit of memory lane mm-hmm. of all the kind of work with youth and corporations supporting higher education, coming together with institutions, renowned institutions like ASU, U of A, UNM. We also were at
UCLA.
We were back
east. Southern Methodist University in Dallas.
Mm-hmm. SMU. Great things, programs that were happening for many, many years all across the country to get youth into and their parents understanding mm-hmm. How to navigate the college-going path, how to get into universities, what types of fields of study made sense for people's talents, interests, and skills, mm-hmm. and then where they could go off into careers and still be in touch with continual learning. I fell in love with those kind of programs back then, and I'm so glad that we share that background. But you were speaking about how, first of all, volunteering yes. is what got you into that.
Yes.
And then next, that you really learned a lot from your peers, from the youth themselves, from your superiors as well, and just from the community at large. And that's kind of what set you on your path to get here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a very mission-driven organization. And it was very obvious that every hire that was made was, you know,
intentional.
Intentional, yes. Moving the mission forward, and also just, you know, passion for community and helping others and making sure that people had the right tools that they needed. And that's what really drove me to take this job with the Tucson IDEA. We're an economic development finance agency, and really passionate about economic justice and really passionate about access.
Yes. And so important for all levels, not just new or small businesses, but medium businesses, industry at large, communities public agencies,
nonprofits, yes, agencies, nonprofits, small businesses, large businesses, you know, businesses run by one person, two persons, or families, right? And then they have employees that are 10, 15, 20, or 50 persons. So it's a great organization. I think I'm joining on the ground floor. And that's what really excited me most about the opportunity, was that they were having an impact in the Tucson community.
Yes.
I'd spent, as I mentioned to you earlier, more or less the last 4.5 years working remote. So working from my home or from a cafe, when I would get tired of the scenery in my office, I'd have to get outside and get involved with the community. But it's a challenge when it didn't have intent, mm-hmm. as you mentioned. So being here in Tucson for the last couple of years, I realized that I need to be involved in the community, that what I miss most was being a part of something larger than just the one thing I was working on at the time. So I came across the opportunity from a grant, basically, is how I learned about Groundswell Capital, which is our mm-hmm. Sister organization that helps with our small business financing and our grant making. So I said, well, I don't know a lot about this organization, but they seem pretty involved in the community.
Yes.
The Rio Nuevo District Small Business Grants was something that I was reading about and learning, and I clicked on every button I could click on that website until I landed.
And there
on
are a few.
And there are many. And I landed on the careers page, and that was the opportunity. And I read the job description, and I couldn't think of a better thing to be doing. It was as if it was written for me. And, you know, off I went, and here I am now.
Well, it sure seems like it. And I'm sure Dre picked up on that. Obviously, she and the hiring committee. Dre's been very innovative, I think, mm-hmm. I was speaking about earlier. In whenever I've spoken with her and met with her, what I see is her eyes light up most. Mm-hmm. And she gets very excited, even when there's a challenge presented to her. But she knows that it is going to be for the benefit of the community, the benefit of the business owners, and that maybe there's a little bit of a barrier on, well, how exactly do we construct that? Well, that never stops her. She puts on her thinking cap and goes and does the research and then learns from other experts who maybe have done something similarly or at least alluded to that, mm-hmm. even if they've not accomplished it. And then she says, well, here's how we're going to do it. Let's give it a try. That's not easy, and you don't see those skills in a lot of people. So I think you and she together are just going to continue to keep Tucson IDA being a powerhouse.
Yeah, I'm very excited. And it's exactly what you just mentioned. Innovative solutions to very challenging problems that require people to roll up their sleeves and get involved. And, you know, I'm motivated every day showing up to work and being a part of this because, you know, there are solutions that are being born here in Tucson at the IDA and at Groundswell Capital that have national reach. We belong to several networks that have members from all 50 states and Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of the things that we're promoting are innovative, and other states are looking at us at a model, right, for climate resiliency, for access to capital, for, I don't know, affordable housing, low-income housing. And what we're doing is really tackling all those problems that are challenges so that we can make Tucson, you know, continue to make Tucson a great city to live.
And it is. And I love just right on the landing page of the IDA that it says investing in a vibrant future, not just investing in our future or doing something with sort of the flat future. It's really about saying everybody's headed that way, but we want to go there and be vibrant. We want to be inclusive. We want to be creative. And the inclusion of saying strategic economic and community development, not just one or the other. And oftentimes, and you and I have both worked for a lot of different mm-hmm. organizations where sometimes those things get separated. Yes. And at the Tucson IDA, they really bring it together.
They're not competing.
Right. They really need to be supplemental so that there's more success. One thing I noticed in a descriptor of your role is that you will continue to be looking at cross-sector partnerships. And that's so very important, just like what we just said. Economic development and community development are not exactly the same, and they don't have to compete. Well, same thing with partnerships.
Right.
Nonprofit and for-profit can come together.
Absolutely.
Public sector can come together. Looking at those not independently as different buckets, but really to say all these in the same bucket, let's just identify those. I like to say strategic alliances. Uh-huh. That's been a focus of mine in my career. So I think it's the same kind of approach to say which and how and why fits best here. And now let's go run together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, for me, it's always, I make a lot of references to the three legs of the stool.
Yes.
Where, you know, we need private, we need public, and we need community, mm-hmm. or not-for-profit, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But if one leg is shorter than the other,
think
exactly. You know, you're falling off your chair.
Clunk with an exclamation point.
So it's very important, you know, and the opportunity is ripe, especially with changes that are happening to society very fast. We have to be innovative. So we're continuing to look at how is it that we partner to not reinvent the wheel, to leverage resources when they are limited,
mm-hmm.
and be creative with our solutions so that we're being the most impactful organizations that we can be. And that's going to involve public-private partnership. It's going to be require us to engage with universities, with education systems, with our nonprofit partners, with our private partners, and us as an agency as well, right? People are looking at us to be a great organization that they can come and depend on. You know, we do a lot of down payment assistance programs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, recently we brought Arizona Is Home in partnership with the Pima IDA. and the Tucson IDA worked together to bring Arizona's home here to Tucson and to Pima County. This is a program of Governor Hobbs that is a down payment assistance program. You can go onto our website and find all the information if you're looking for a home. And you know, programs like this that are making a real impact is really important.
And it, as you said, a real impact into people, into their households, and homes, housing and homes continue to be such top priority, especially here in Southern Arizona.
Very much so.
And it is wonderful to be able to have programs that are hitting our county and can really have a ripple effect. And I like that it is countywide because we have a lot of communities that are going to benefit, including way out in Ajo and even down in Arivaca. So we'll talk more about that. We're going to have another break here. You're listening to Rainmakers on KVOI, The Voice. So here we are back at the second half of the second hour, Monday, August 18th on Rainmakers. This is the Monday segment of The Morning Voice. Every day we have a different host and a slightly different perspective and topic. The Morning Voice is positive talk radio, addressing people, issues, initiatives, and having conversations about things that are making Southern Arizona thrive. And with that, and of course, Matt Neely keeps us very organized and flowing smoothly with great tunes behind the glass. Here on Rainmakers this morning, we have Marco Hidalgo in studio. And Marco is the new EVP over at Tucson IDA. That's the Industrial Development Authority. And we were speaking before the break about many of the programs that are continuing. A lot of folks don't always think about that intersection of economic development and community development because they are so similar, but they tend to work in different paths. And the IDA is one of those organizations that intentionally brings those things together and gets innovative. All of you as leaders and a great team there at the IDA and your partners at Groundswell Capital and others really come together to make some things happen. And while it is the Tucson IDA, seems that more and more Tucson IDA is really partnering well, always has, but is partnering even better and more strongly with Pima IDA, with surrounding area IDAs, with statewide IDAs, and even IDAs from other states. I love when all of that can bring solutions that Tucsonans and Southern Arizonans and really our whole state can benefit from. So you're right in the hotbed of all of that.
Yeah, it's great. It's fantastic.
So the day in the life of an EVP at Tucson IDA, we talked a little bit before the break about cross-sector partnerships and how those come together for community-based investments. So do you find that your priorities, at least initially, are going after and solidifying some of those partnerships, or are you taking some of those partnerships to new levels? Kind of what makes up your day of priority tasks?
Sure, yeah. It's a little bit of everything, to be completely honest, right? It's a smaller organization, and I like to think that we punch above our weight class, absolutely. And I'm working mostly right now on implementing the systems that are necessary for us to grow our programs, right? How can we be more impactful with the resources that we have available to us? And that's making sure that everything is running smoothly. So I'm really taking an operations perspective to the organization to make sure that everything is built out, documented, and effective in its intent and what it's supposed to do. A lot of times I am working with community partners and trying to get my name out there, right? As people can, I hope that people look at me as a resource that they can leverage for their organization's benefit as well. And I was talking to my neighbor yesterday, and she was asking me, "Hey, how's the new job going?" And I said, "Man, it's great. We're doing impactful things in the community. I'm very excited to have a sense of belonging, and to be plugged in, really." Mm-hmm. And she's like, "Well, it's good for both. It's good both for you and for Tucson." And I thought that
absolutely.
It made me take a different perspective and be so grateful to her to lend that perspective, because I feel a responsibility, especially as, you know, being an outsider. I didn't grow up here. I didn't come to the U of A, but I'm here now, and it's wonderful to be here. And I'm really grateful for the community and the inviting. It's very open and welcoming, and I really appreciate that and admire that about Tucson, because, as you know, you've lived in different communities. Some are not welcoming. Some are not inviting. there are hills to climb, and it can be very challenging to get plugged in and become a valued partner. And that's really right. what I'm looking at, right? How do I become a valued partner, somebody that says and does the things that are meaningful to this community here?
Well, I'm very glad that you walked through that and said that, because it is important. I like to think that here in Southern Arizona that we are welcoming, but that it does come with challenges going mm-hmm. anywhere and sort of taking on a role. What I find interesting in the role that you're in, I believe I have this correct, that it is a new role entirely. There was not a previous you. Mm-hmm. So sometimes that helps, because then you're not walking in anybody's shadows. But all of us, whenever we join any organization, of course there are previous people there that have done great things
yes.
that you need to pick up the baton and work with. But sometimes it helps if it's a slightly different role, because then you can create it into what you think might blend mm-hmm. from some of those previous roles that others had and take it to the next level. So it's kind of the new generation of.
Yeah.
And with that, Marco, I have no doubt you're going to make this your own and continue to offer services. One of the things we talked about the importance of community and community development and economic development is housing.
Yes.
Housing and making sure everybody has a home. And there are so many different aspects to tackling that. It is not only about building housing. It is not only about attention to lower income. It is not only about temporary housing. It is about all those things, as well as the programs that go into that mm-hmm. financial literacy, down payment assistance, and people these days in today's economy often have lots of steady income, but it still might not be enough income to afford whatever the market is putting out. So I think in that aspect, mm-hmm. I always try to share with people that I think it's valuable to step back and say, what exactly does affordability and
right.
accessibility mean? And remember that it's not just one level and another. It's not just like split, you know, low and high. There are so many nuances.
Yes.
And so I'm so excited that you mentioned the Tucson IDA, and I'm going to repeat it in case anyone didn't hear it from our earlier segment, that the Tucson IDA has secured $675,000 for Pima County-wide home buyers, and that's going to
yes.
go into home buying assistance. Thank you to Arizona Governor Katie Hobbs and the Arizona Department of Housing for mm-hmm. awarding that to our own Tucson IDA. So
yeah.
I think that's going to help put you into conversations, particularly you, Marco, with other partners, other nonprofits. Excuse me. I'm thinking of Compass Affordable Housing, which is a great leader in housing solutions in here in the Tucson area and Pima County area, but they actually are working on a whole lot of things that
right.
are starting to traverse into other counties. And they may not be the ones to build houses, but they build housing facilities, meaning apartment complexes,
mm-hmm.
But they have a whole lot of tenant services that can be applied to other other groups, and they can work in collaboration with public agencies. And so I think together, the two of you, if you all haven't sat down yet,
absolutely.
I hope that you will.
Right.
And on this program, we try to also, I'm glad that we're able to help amplify your voice.
Oh, thank you so much for the opportunity.
I think that we want to make sure to bring up topics and opportunities. And with that, I want to ask you, what do you think might be coming around the peak, quickly, that you might want to have the community involved in? Are there events coming up that might warrant volunteering? Are there collaborative events that people might buy tickets or register for sessions? What do you have on your plate?
Yeah, so I'd like to make a plug for all of our events. We have the team is a strong team and very passionate about what we're doing. And Nicole Johnson, who leads our housing programs, she's available and accessible. If anybody needs information with respect to down payment assistance for somebody buying a home, you know, they can reach out to us directly and they'll speak to a real person and they'll tell them everything they need to know and how they qualify to get the down payment assistance.
Fantastic.
You know, our lending team, and Diana and Mark, they're longtime bankers in the community, very well respected and,
mm-hmm.
you know, working cross-functionally to make sure that everyone has what they need to be successful. One small business has come to us, right? So you mentioned Rio Nuevo is a partner of ours, an organization that we're supporting. We have a Rio Nuevo Small Business Grant Program. People can go onto the website and learn more about that. That's upcoming and forthcoming. It's very exciting. It helps businesses to grow.
It helps for profit. They're actually grants. They don't have to be paid back, but for profit. For the for-profit businesses, not for the nonprofit.
That's correct.
Special and exciting that way. You know, one thing about that is some folks who may have heard of that in the past might be used to hearing that that usually comes up at the beginning of the year, the first quarter of the year. But this is an additional tranche
that's
coming
correct.
Out.
Yes.
So on the heels of September?
September is when we're looking at launching the, I guess what would be for the second time.
Yes.
As you mentioned. So the first awards went out in the springtime and these will be the fall. And, you know, kudos to Rio Nuevo for making a larger investment in the Rio Nuevo District and the small businesses that call the Rio Nuevo District home.
Yes.
So big kudos to them for making it possible. And it's really great to see the investment that's happening. You know, people that are running businesses in the Rio Nuevo District are eligible to apply. There's more information on our website. We have weekly office hours where any community member can come into our office at the Tucson Small Business Center, where we're going to have an event to welcome and open the space to the public, where they can come in and receive business consulting. They can get loan application preparation. They can work one-on-one with one of our seasoned loan officers and business coaches. So it's a space that really we're looking at being the center for Tucson small business to be successful, somewhere they can call home and they're invited. Like I mentioned, what we're passionate about is access to capital and economic justice.
Yes.
So everything is kind of pinned in those two values, right? And, you know, another one of our values as an organization, stewardship, right? We're doing what we can with what we have. Kindness, how do we treat people equitably, which is what you were talking about, right? People are coming from everywhere and trying to buy a home or to find what they need necessary. Maybe they're, you know, they're just starting out their family and they want to be on the path to buy a home. So what are the steps that they can take now to be home purchasers in the near future?
Right. All of that is so important, and I'm so glad to hear you say that the values of teaching and informing, informational resources are just as important as financial. So with that, we're going to pause for our next commercial break, but stay tuned because we're going to come back and speak a little bit more about how people can get involved with the Tucson IDA, how they can invite Marco to perhaps be a speaker one of their sessions and talk more about this. So you're listening to Rainmakers, KVOI The Voice. Please stay tuned. And we're back after our last break. This is Lydia Aranda. I'm your host on Rainmakers. For the Monday segment of Weekday, the Morning Voice, Weekday Positive Talk here on KVOI The Voice. We were just hearing a little bit of Sister Sledge. We are family, and we are. I love it when I can have folks in the station to talk about wonderful things, and it's even more fun when I've known them for a long time. So Marco Hidalgo is here with us in studio. We've had a wonderful conversation this second hour here talking about his new role as the new EVP at Tucson IDA and the wonderful programs, the attention and the intention that the innovation that comes out of Dre Thompson and all of the IDA board and the IDA staff and the partners at Groundswell Capital. Marco, in your role as EVP, I know that people are going to want to continue to find you and ask questions, maybe have you out to talk a little bit more in depth about some the many different programs and initiatives. How can people reach you and how can they find out more?
Yeah, they can always go on to our website and get in contact with us. We have a monthly newsletter if they'd like to stay more informed. That's a really good opportunity for them to learn about all our programs and everything that's happening with the Tucson IDA and Groundswell Capital. If folks want to get a hold of me directly, marco@tucsonida.org. You can feel free to send me an email.
Fantastic.
I'd love to connect with more people in the community.
Well, that's it is going to be a very, I think, dynamic fall. Lots of things going on, including, I think, hopefully good news if people had not yet heard that there's going to be another tranche of the Rio Nuevo Small Business Grant, which is free grant money. It's a competitive grant.
It's competitive, yes.
People have to apply. They have to qualify. And then hopefully they get selected for some dollars that are they're not alone. But then also, if they're interested in a loan, they can look right. into that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I want to be, I want to express some gratitude to all of the businesses here in Tucson for believing us as a trusted partner. Mm-hmm. You know, I've seen businesses come through the door, and they want to see their business succeed.
Yes,
and us at Groundswell Capital, the sister organization of the Tucson IDA, have, you know, really taken the opportunity to listen to their needs and put them in a place where they can be successful for their long-term growth and their business objectives and their personal ambitions. So it's very exciting. And, you know, for those businesses that have partnered with us, I just want to say thank you for believing in us and trusting us.
Right. That's wonderful. And it is important to have trust there. And some folks are very, have been very disappointed maybe with some of their attempts to small business owners or other folks in their attempts to either apply for assistance or as a small business owner apply for a loan and get funded. It's a difficult path. It's not just something that you do in 5 minutes. There's a lot of work that goes to that. And with that, it's so exciting to know that you have the Small Business Center that's going to be opened up to the public. And that will be an added, wonderfully welcomed, I'm sure, added center for information and training to supplement the other kinds of resources that are out there by the SBDCs, by the chambers, and maybe other agencies. But it's wonderful that the IDA will have that, because you all do so much in so many different mannerisms and industries and career fields that it'll be nice that you can kind of have a one-stop shop.
Yeah, well, you know, the one-stop shop, I'm extraordinarily grateful to the city of Tucson and the Small Business Navigators.
Mm-hmm.
Without them, they're housed in the same building.
Yes.
So, you know, and they are such a power in the community. And, you know, the program manager there, Francisca Villegas.
Fantastic. She's hardworking.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Very collaborative.
Yes, absolutely. Door is always open, and I pop in there and we'll talk about things that are going on. And it's so obvious that she wants to see small business succeed.
Yes.
And, you know, they're housed in the same building. So the partnership and the collaboration with the city of Tucson is critical to our success as well. We know that, and we value the partnership with them. So having us all in the same building, they're at 600 South Meyer in the Tucson Small Business Center, is really a great opportunity for anybody that's interested in starting a business, wants to grow their business. And they do other programs as well for nonprofits that we were talking about earlier, you know, side hustles, you know, people that are pursuing their ROC licensing. All of this education is so empowering, and part of our education as well and our, you know, empowerment programs that we have are really, I look at them as models for other cities around the Southwest.
That's the best. That's what they say. The best flattery is when people kind of steal your idea and keep it going. So that's a good thing. It means that you're on the right track and that it's making sense to folks. Well, it has been a wonderful hour. It's gone by so quickly. Marco, thank you for being here. Folks, you've been listening to Marco Hidalgo, and I'm your host, Lydia Aranda. Marco is from the Tucson IDA in his new role as EVP, and you can hear me every Monday morning here on Rainmakers. Please stay tuned. Have a wonderful week, and let's hope we get some more of that rain. Matt Neely, take us away.